Really good to be here. And I mean that. I appreciate the Lord letting us come. Sometimes it's a little hard to describe what you feel inside. I know men have tried to pin it down in books, and they've tried to write songs about it and poems, and tried to put it into movies and all kinds of things, the feelings that folks have down inside. But sometimes it's just hard to do. I appreciate this place. I really do, and got a lot of friends that I was really longing to see this morning. Last couple of days, we've been thinking about it, and was out working some yesterday by myself, and finally settled that we probably needed to try to come. And our days are a little bit unpredictable sometimes with some obligations that we've got, so we don't know how things are going to be sometimes. But Carrie had asked me yesterday, where do you feel like we may be going tomorrow? And I finally told her I thought maybe we needed to come here, and she said, I'd been thinking about Mountain View. It's just good to be here. You know, I didn't come to preach, and I could leave right now and say that I know we say that a lot, but I really could say that, Brother Jeff. I could say it's already been good to be here and could just talk and fellowship, I guess, with everybody, and then going back home. And I would have been blessed today. I really would have. And I'm trying to slow down and not outrun it. I feel real good in my heart, and I don't want to just, if I took off, I don't know where I'd go right now, but that I don't want to get ahead. I've done that before, and it didn't last long. It fizzled out, and I appreciate what I feel. I'd prefer it last a long time, all day, if I could get it to. I am. I'm really thankful. Brother Randy's he's already preached to us. I don't know if we need anything else or not, but only the Lord does. But I'm glad of what I can feel, and I'm thankful. Now, I didn't catch all of what he said. You know, we was a little bit late, but I'm glad that I have and can claim, as the song says, the blood. Amen. I'm glad I can. It's the society that we live in today, they don't want to talk about that. It's so politically correct. You're not supposed to talk about things like that. But for us, that's what it's all about. He shed his blood. He shed his blood that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And without it, we really don't have anything. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Amen. That's what the Word said. Amen. And I'm thankful for it today. I'm thankful that He gave it willingly. Sure. They didn't have to run Him down. Yeah. Even He said, I was with you daily. Yeah. I was with you. Yeah. Every day. Gave His life that we might live. Amen. And I appreciate the blessings of the Lord this morning. I really do. Y'all have to pray for us. I said we didn't come to preach, but I will tell you, I was working yesterday, and if I if I felt like, ever felt like that I was at the right place, I really feel like we're at the right place. Now, I don't mean we're going to preach. I'm not saying that to mean that. I'm just saying sometimes you know you land in the right spot. And I feel that way this morning, Brother Bruce. I feel like I'm where I'm supposed to be. Really. Sometimes I feel like the majority of my life I've landed in the wrong spot. But today I feel like I've landed in the right spot. It's good to know when you can feel that the Lord shared just a little bit of His will with you to show you what to do. I've missed so much. I've missed the mark so much, I feel like. In my life. I don't know if y'all feel that way or not, Brother Leroy, but I feel like I've missed it so much in my life sometimes. It made so many messes and just mess things up so many times. But every now and then, God lets me get in the right spot. I don't know about preaching. Lord help. Y'all have to pray. me. I don't know if I can find it or not. Just bear with me just a minute. I tell you the truth, I wish I could preach to you about 8 o'clock this morning because it was all coming real good then. I don't know if I can get to it or not. Bear with me just a minute and pray for us. I'd rather just rejoice, honestly, than I had to try to preach. And that's what we'll do if that's the Lord's will. I don't know. It's good. Good for brethren to dwell together in unity. Feel the love of God. How good and how pleasant that it is. Praise the Lord. Let me try to read just a few verses, and I don't know. I may just read it, testify, or do something. I don't know. All afternoon yesterday, I was out there around the barn trying to work something by myself, and I just really, the further the day went on, felt like coming this way and become more and more real to me in these scriptures. It just kept rolling over and over in my heart and my mind, and I don't know what we could say from it, but I tell you, the front of my barn is a big red front with some doors on it, and it was coming so clear yesterday to me. You could, it's just like you could have wrote it on the whole side of that barn. It's just how real that it become. Just thoughts, just, it ain't always like that, but I mean, it was just coming, and just scripture was just flowing through my mind and my heart. And I may be all scattered today, but y'all just pray for me a minute. You'll find it in the 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, and I know it's real familiar scripture. And I want to read just a little bit of it. I couldn't get a part of this off of my mind. And I guess we'll start trying to read about the verse number 41. And may read the rest of the chapter. It's not just a few more verses there. But I want you to listen to what Elijah done. The Bible said, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. I don't know if we can say anything from this or not. I desire that all those things that I've thought about yesterday and even this morning would come back, if it's the Lord's will. And we'd be able maybe to say something from it. Maybe try to get ourselves out of the way in our thoughts and our mind and all that. I could not get off of my mind yesterday. I had a vision, I guess, or just a thought or begin to see where Elijah got as he went to pray for rain. And I know this may be maybe a natural thing or even maybe a carnal way to look at things, I guess. But I began to think about how that Elijah, the Bible said, cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees.
Amen. Bless
him. I ain't been able to get that off my mind. I don't know if there's a message in that or not. But I just got to thinking about that when I was working yesterday there at the barn. And I got to... sometimes there yesterday, my thoughts, it was just so many that were coming, and I was trying to sort them all out, and scripture was rolling over in my mind, and I would think about something, and I'd get sort of chasing on it for a little while, Brother Bruce, and I'd almost get to the point to where I talked myself out of it even being anything to do anything with. And I'd always end up right back with Elijah on his knees, sir, with his cast down on the earth with his face between his knees. I just ain't been able to get past that. And the Lord, this same light spoke to me when I was out there working. And I wasn't trying to think up a text or a thought or nothing like that. I wasn't trying to come up with anything. I was just working and trying to maybe start thinking on spiritual things. And the Lord just seemed like spoke to me. I tell you, and I'm just being honest as I can be. I felt like He just started talking to me, and I trying to start listening. I'd encourage you, if God ever starts talking, you need to start listening.
Amen.
You don't need to talk over Him or look past Him or anything. You really need to listen to what He says, because it's not often that God talks in that real of a way. Well, it don't to me. Maybe it does to y'all. I don't know. But when He really starts talking to me and I can really feel it in my heart, I figure it's my duty to be quiet and listen and try to get my spiritual ears open so that whatever it is that the Lord has to say, that I'm prepared to take it in. And I listened to it, and I started listening, and I started thinking, and I got my spiritual ears open there for a little while. And when I did, the Lord just seemed to open up some things to me, and I got to studying about, and you can get all caught up in all the bad things that Elijah had to go through. If you want to, you can get caught up in how that Jezebel was chasing him and going to take his life, and sent word out that he is going to die. And you can get caught up of how the brook dried up and all of that. How that he run out of something to eat. And you can even read on, and you can get thinking about how he got in the cave there. And how that everybody seemed like it quit but him. But I got this vision yesterday. Of Elijah down on his knees there upon the earth, with his face between his knees. And I don't know, this may not make any sense to y'all at all, but I got a vision of the physical posture, I guess you'd call it, that Elijah got into. And you might say, well, that ain't got nothing to do with it. You can pray standing up, and you can pray going down the road in the truck or car, and I know that you can. I've done that myself a lot. I prayed in the closet down. I prayed standing. I prayed sitting. I prayed in about every posture I guess you can. But there's something about humbling yourself down before God. As Elijah done. And I got to thinking on that. And the Lord, it just seemed like spoke to me there. In the yard of the barn there. And I began to see a little starting place, I guess you might call it. And the Lord, and I'll tell you something, I didn't see it for you. I began to see myself. A lot of folks say, well, the preacher just sits down, tries to come up with something that he thinks will apply to all the church. But I'm going to tell you, that's not exactly how it happens. A lot of times,
sometimes it comes to just us. And we have to deal with it when it does. This morning, and so I applied it to myself. I am the Lord, and you can just take this for what it's worth. This morning, but the Lord asked me, are you in a good place that I can do something for you? That's what I heard. Now, I don't know what you might get out of it. That's what I heard that come to me. And all I could see was Elijah down on his knees there on the earth with his head between that of his knees, a crying and a praying and a asking God. The Bible saying that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It said that Elijah, being a man of like passion as you and I are, earnestly pray that there would be no rain. And there was no rain for the saints 3 years and 6 months. Yeah. Get in a place, a good, good place. Say, Robbie, you don't understand just how bad the storm is. I may not. Some of you's been places I ain't never been. I may have been somewhere you ain't never been. To study. Hannah got on my mind. I got to studying about Hannah. The Bible saying that Elkanah had two wives, one named Hannah, and another one named Peninnah. The scripture saying they can go up there to sacrifice. I don't know if y'all ever felt this way or not. Has you ever felt like the devil had his foot on you? In a life that makes you all the time. And that everything in the world is caving around you. Brother, every year I had to go to that sacrifice. Randy, she had to sit at that table. I sit around enough to know. Confess something to you. I've been a lot of days I bowed on that little altar in my closet that was made right out here behind the church one summer. Just a little old stool that Andrew and David, some of them. Sometimes he comes You know what's worrying me? A lot of y'all's about the same age as I am. Some a little younger, some a little older. You know what worries me today, man? With my praying, I'm just going to spill the beans and let it out. And him going out to feed the cows or the goats. And hear me in there. Trying to get a hold of something. And when he gets done feeding, I'll come back behind the garage. And I'm still trying to get a hold of something. God, I love you this morning. I ain't here to hurt you. But I'm going to tell you. We got to get ourselves in a good place. To where we can get a hold of God. If our children are in sin, Brother Neil will embarrass them. When they hear Daddy praying, when they hear Mama praying, that they don't want to be around it, it'll shed light on their deed. Yes, sir. I didn't see that in the barnyard, I'll tell you that. I didn't. That's the Lord's. That's the Lord's. Eli marked her lips and come over there. And I said, you need to put away your wine. You're drunk. I said, no. I saw something this morning I never saw. I don't know why it hadn't. You'd think somebody been preaching a while with a song. But I didn't see it. What about that woman that come to the man of God? even more of a reason for you to get in a good place. To deliver you. Daniel said, "Oh, King, I live forever." He said, "For my God has sent his angels." When you're in that bad spot, you don't realize that God wants to put you in a good spot.
Yeah. right.
And we're trying to educate them. Get them the best jobs. Introduce them to the highest people in the land. Get them the right connections, the right friends. Preacher, if they're following the right ones, they'll surely make something out of themselves. This is going to come across as a little bit direct, but I'm going to say it. If that would have worked, I want you to tell me this morning why they're not in this house.
Yeah.
Can you? Did it really better them?
No.
Uh-uh. You might think that's judging. That's not judging.
No.
The Bible teaches us to rear them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord.
Amen.
In order for them to make leaders in a church, we're going to have to get them into a good place.
Amen.
Don't you leave here today and say, Robbie said, we've wasted our time. It's all done. There ain't no way we're ever going to get them. No, sir. Maybe someone would have told David that day when he was out fighting and he come back home and their home was burned and all of the families were gone and their possessions was gone. All the while he was out there trying to fight and do the right thing for Israel, the enemy come and got everything that they got, and all the people that he was fighting with turned and looked at David and they wanted to kill him and do away with him.
Yep.
Let me tell you something, that's a cop-out for a lot of mamas and daddies today. Once they reach 20, if they don't make something out of themselves in the church, well, we fail. Shame on you if you're going to quit.
Amen.
What you want us to do, I mean, why don't you go get them?
Yeah.
Go get them. Not by the hair of the head dragging me here.
Go.
Bless the Lord.
Can I tell you something this morning? I don't know why. I really don't. This is as much to me, I guess, as it is to y'all. If you feel like you're about ready to give up because they didn't turn out like you wanted them to turn out, let's try this, will you? First thing let's do is let's go out there and find them and apologize to them. Instead of going out there and blaming them and accusing them, they say all the time, this younger generation preacher is taking our church in another direction. Well, if it's taking our church in another direction, go over there to them and get it out of their hands and take it back.
Yeah.
And say when you get to the age, so that's what we've done running with cars and trucks with them. When they started running them off in the ditch and everything else, and couldn't drive them yet. We made them get out of the yard and go around and around and around around the yard until it felt like they was able to drive them, road and take the keys back. Go out there and get them. I'll help you. When I run across them, if the Lord put it on my heart, I'll help you.
Amen.
I'll ask you.
Amen.
I've done it before.
Yeah.
Right up there at the plant, Robert. Lord laid it on my heart to go talk to one another one day. And I just went back there and stood beside the forklift. Just talk to him. I bet you laid it on me. You know, I stood there for a long time talking about what he wanted to talk about. I didn't care. I just wanted to know a preacher thought enough of him to come back here and stand talk to him. And then, by toward the end, the door opened a little bit. We just opened up just a little bit. You say, you can go to the church, don't you? Come on. Come on down to the church. I didn't get my collar so you can straighten up and get yourself right. No. I don't want them in a bad place, Brother Randy. I want them in a good place. You believe it'll work? I'm going to tell you what I saw with my own eyes one time up at Mount Liberty in McCaseville. I saw a lady come to church. Her and her husband was out of church, and this lady had never been saved. He had been saved, but he was out of the will of God. And you might say, can a situation like that work? Yeah, if that man will get his heart right, and he'll get close enough to God that he can get a hold of the power of God, he can change some things around home. And he ain't got to bless nobody out or accuse nobody of nothing. All he's got to do is live it.
and pray and do the right thing. Yep. We as men are supposed to be the head of the house, ain't we? That don't mean the boss, it means the leader. You're supposed to lead where we need to go. I saw this happen. That boy got enough about him that he started coming to church. And then he started bringing her. And the spirit got to move and he got to working. And that boy got in some rough shape. He knowed the right way. He got in rough shape. We had a revival meeting one Friday night. Somebody said, we ain't going to pray outside tonight. We're going to pray inside. Let's take it to the church. We took it into church. We got up and praying. The spirit was just, you could just feel it. One young man stood up and testified. And as soon as he got to his feet, started testifying. Here that boy come down the hall. He got his life straightened out. Got where he needed to be. Put the pressure. Pressure on home. Yeah. Right back home. Sunday after Sunday. They would come. They wouldn't come back on Sunday night. Then they got to where they come back one Sunday night. We come around to one Sunday morning. I'm going to tell you what the Lord can do. We come around to one Sunday morning. We had a meeting to dismiss. It was the first or third Sunday night. We was going to come back that night. We come back that night and they wasn't there. We got to singing. That woman wasn't nowhere to be found. About four or five songs into the service, the back door flung open. She didn't sit where she normally sat. She didn't go to where the women was sitting at. She flung open that back door and she went straight to the altar.
Yeah.
I mean, almost run to the altar. She got in such a good place. Which, that's a good place.
Amen.
Better believe it.
Amen.
It was a good place. She probably didn't see it as being a good place. But sometimes God has got to break us down a little bit.
Amen.
Before we ever get in a good place to where he can do. See, all you've been hearing is you got to get in a good place, got to get in a good place. You didn't listen to the last part I said, did you? So the Lord can do something for you. How long do y'all think it took Elijah to get a hold of fire out of heaven? If you read the book, just a minute. When the decree was made, and Daniel knew what the decree was. And he came back to where his friends were at and said, I want y'all to help me pray about something. Them three of them was. He said, I want y'all to help me pray about something. Tell me in the Bible, do you see where it took 2 weeks, 6 months, or a year to get an answer? The Bible said something about a night vision.
Yeah.
Night vision.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a little while, but when you're in a good spot,
yeah.
I'm talking about a real good place, sometimes you're gone. Just that quick.
Amen.
I mean, just that quick, you can get a hold of the Lord. And Daniel was, he got a hold of that interpretation fast. Quick. He can get a hold of that interpretation down there walking around saying, I'm sorry, Lord. Oh, I should have done that the other day. I promise you I'll do better and everything. Amen. Get his knees and believe. He said, Lord, you know what's going on? That king's made a decree and I'm going to have it. What did Hezekiah do? Sennacherib, they sent a letter down there. You know, I'm so wore out with Christian people today that say we can't. Well, if you can't, move over. Move over. And let somebody do something to live.
Amen.
That can't. I don't want to hear about how we can't. I have to listen to that every day. Every day on the meetings, they talk about how we can, what they're doing, and what's coming next, and the church they're going to make, and all this stuff. You know what Hezekiah done? Hezekiah got into a good place.
Yeah.
Hezekiah knows how to get into a good place. He got news. He's going to die one day.
Yeah.
He didn't run to the doctor. He turned his face toward the wall.
Yeah.
And he said, Lord, you know, I've tried my best to do the right thing. I've tried to live before you the right way. God heard Hezekiah's prayer and came down there in the middle court and got a hold of Isaiah. So wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Go back up there and tell
him. Yeah.
Go back up there and tell him. Yeah. I've heard it.
Yeah.
I've seen it. In the one place it says he's going to heal.
Yeah.
He didn't say that both places. I think he said just one place.
Yeah.
But he said, I'm going to add to it 15 years.
Yeah.
Don't tell me we're done.
Yeah.
I don't believe we're good.
Amen.
No, sir, I don't. But tell you what, Hezekiah done. We'll sing, but what are you going to do? Hezekiah got news that Sennacherib and that army was going to come down there and get him. Hezekiah got that letter. He didn't call the army together. He got that letter. He went up there and he spread that thing out before the Lord.
Amen.
And he said, all right, Lord, there it is.
Yeah.
That's what they said they're going to do to us. The Lord spoke to the prophet and said, you tell them I'm going to send a blast in there and take care of the whole bunch. This guy ain't going to have to do nothing. Just have to sit right tight.
Yeah, yeah.
He went through that. I'm going to send a blast in there and I'm going to take care of the whole bunch.
Yeah.
And he did.
Yeah.
He took care of all of them. I'd encourage you to do something whenever you get in a really, really good place. Stay right there.
Amen.
Stay right there. Didn't they call up our Nehemiah and say, come down here and meet with us. We won't talk to you. This guy said, why should I? I'm doing good work.
Yeah.
You ain't doing nothing down there but causing trouble. Why should I leave a good work and come down there where you're at? I'm just going to keep on working on it. I'm just going to keep on working. When you get in a good place, hold that hope for God.
Amen.
Take it away from you. I know some of us will do anything in the world for our companions, for our families, for our children, for our mamas, for our daddies, for our brothers, for our sisters. We'll do anything in the world for them to try to help them. But sometimes all of the things that we do are the wrong things. All of the approaches that we take. You know, I've seen it, and y'all have too. One preacher said it one time. He said, the best way to get somebody's to love. I think all I can tell you, and I'm a little ashamed to tell you, but it's the truth. There have been a few times. I mean, we've kind of... I don't want to take too much of our business, but I'm going to tell you this. And you just well start to say, thank you, Lord. Somebody's been in that same road.
Yeah.
You kind of get bumped a little bit. Sometimes the bump gets hard.
Yeah, bless the Lord.
And that ain't pleasurable.
Bless the Lord.
When you've got two strong opinions pushing against each other. But after things kind of calm down a little bit, I know what to do.
Yeah.
And it works this way with my companions too. And y'all know that too.
Amen.
The best thing you can do is let things simmer down for just a minute. And then y'all would do it the right way. Like you probably should have done it the first
time.
Which entails you don't know nothing, okay?
Yeah.
And sit down and say, listen, first of all, I'm going to tell you something. I'm sorry.
Bless the Lord.
And I probably went at that a little bit the wrong way. Let's start this thing over. It won't take something if you get in a good enough place, you do that with tears in your eyes. I've done it before. I've went back before and I sat down and I had it all, I had it way down in here. I had the mind part on my mind smart. And I'm gonna get it. But I'm going to do it in a way where he's going to see me coming.
Yeah.
It didn't work.
Yeah.
Y'all didn't think any kind of things happen with the preacher's family. It does.
Yes.
It happens in the deacon's family.
Yeah.
It happens in the song leader's family.
Sure.
It happens in the piano player's family.
Sure.
It happens in the Sunday school teacher's family.
Yeah.
But when you go to them and they can feel what you really, really do, mean what you say. Well, the cooperation.
Yeah.
It really starts to come together.
Yeah.
When they really feel it.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, you get an apology coming back towards you. You might say, preacher, they're working that.
Yeah.
They're getting in a good place.
Yeah.
In a good place.
Listen.
And before you know it, you'll both be out there in the pasture feeding again.
Bless you.
You'll both be out there in the barnyard doing something again. might start to get into a good place. I don't know your heart this morning. I don't know what God would call it on. That's what the Lord would want me to call it. And all I could say yesterday when I was out there working was how little Isaac got himself into a really, really good place to where he could do something. I'm not smart enough to do something like that, Jeff. I have to rely on the Lord. I have to. It's not too late to fix some things. It's not too late to start over. It's not too late to get in a good, good place. I'm talking about a place where you can really, really, really work. I don't stay there. I don't get there often. I don't. If I know anything, this morning, I know. I was worried about this. I was worried we were going to get out of the house and I'm getting here. And I got plenty of good in my mouth. I'm back at 10 after 20 after or 11:30. That's where you're supposed to be. And you just let it go on. I know when I'm in the place where it is supposed to be. I don't know anybody's heart this morning. And I tell you something, I ain't trying to win you kudos or whatever they call them. And I ain't asking for your pat on the back. Y'all know me well enough to know that. I'm not asking for anything. But I can tell you, in that modern yard, there's two things that happened. I saw Elijah, and I could feel him. In that barn yard, I know that. If I know again, I may not ever know nothing the rest of my life. But God gave me a feeling to come to Mount View, and I saw Elijah bow there on his knees, putting his face between his knees to the earth, and begin to pray for him. When that servant came back and said, "There's nothing," Elijah didn't say, "Take our stuff up and go to hell." Maybe I just missed it. He says, "You go again 7 times. What's our children worth? More than 7 times. If it takes 107 times to get some of them, keep them from making some bad mistakes or ruining their life, would it not be worth 107 times of praying for them?" Yes, it would be. I believe Elijah told him. I don't know what Elijah must have raised up and said, "Go again 7 times," and I believe right that he put his face right back there between his knees and got to praying again. And on that 7th time, that young man came back and said, "There's a little cloud." A little cloud. To that young man, it was a little cloud coming up out of the sea. Well, Elijah said, "You go tell Ahab, prepare his chariot, get down off the mountain, let the rain stop him not." The baby could hear it come. A little cloud turned into the heavens being black. The wind started blowing. And in a little while, they got one of the hottest rains you ever seen coming down. All because that Elijah got into a good place. Amen. Maybe God's people make it rain today.